Welcome to Books, Sprouts, and Booze. This is your host, Jamie.
And Monica. Hello, hello.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Woohoo! We're well into season six. Very exciting.
Yes. I loved this book. I have it pulled up so that I can say it properly. It's When You Trap a Tiger by Ty Keller.
Yes, and it has won the 2021 Newbery Medal and the 2021 Asian Pacific American Award for Children's Literature.
And I've got to say, if I were to ever write a book, I would hope that it would be as lovely and as enchanting as this book was.
And emotionally moving. I was in the middle of piano lessons, and I was like trying not to bawl my eyes out. Mm. Oh no.
It was so good.
But I want to finish the book. Okay. So I wrote up a couple of questions for us. The first question is, a recurring theme in the book is the bond between sisters. In your relationship with your sister, do you feel you mirror Sam and Lily, with Sam being sticky and Lily being invisible? Or do you feel this part of the story deals directly with their Asian ancestry?
Well, I did think that this can be true for many sister relationships. I feel like my sister is a little more sticky than me, for sure. But no one has ever described me as being quiet or invisible either. So, yeah. So, not exactly, but...
My sister is the quiet one. She's the quiet one. And when we were in college, I went to visit her and she's like, oh, I have to warn all of my friends. I'm like, warn them about what? And they're like, you just walk in and you're like, hello, it's me. And I was just like, I'm not like that. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, you are. I was like, oh, okay. Learned something about myself on that trip,
I guess.
So the invisibility and sight are another theme of the novel. How does invisibility work for Lily? And what do you feel was the author's purpose bringing up the quiet Asian girl, quag, term?
Yeah. Now, for this one, I feel like Lily kind of learned how to rock the boat. She's quiet and agreeable, and that's why people overlook her. I suspect she's less invisible than she feels. Like, this is a real big book on feeling, and you really get to learn, like, their inner landscapes, you know? But I feel like she's able to get away with a lot because people don't expect trouble from her. And I feel like this was probably a major coping mechanism for her, and her sister is coped the opposite way. You know, she was the one who would, like, pretend not to care and act out and everything else.
Bleach blonde hair, white strip.
Right. So I think it was, like, less of a personality trait and more of, like, coping mechanisms, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the quiet Asian girl term, I think the author wanted to make us aware of the stereotype. And though her characters show us that they're real people, more complex people than any stereotype could be.
I felt like she was bringing up an awareness to that stereotype, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was a term that people use.
I didn't either, but I can get the stereotype from, like, movies and different things. I mean, though it's not something that you would maybe say, but you would recognize that stereotype in different
That's
things.
Exactly how it was for me. I was like, oh, yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think about the invisibility of Lily and compared to her sister?
I felt like Lily didn't want to rock the boat, like you say. She wanted to be the quiet one, the good one, and so she used her invisibilities to not have to deal with things.
Yeah.
Especially when something was hard.
Yeah.
Which was why it was so hard for her when her grandmother was so sick, because she was the only one who saw her all the time.
Yeah.
I was like, no!
I know.
So Tiger is stalking Lily and the grandmother in the novel.
Mm-hmm.
And the tiger comes up and was like, I'll help you, but you have to listen to these stories. Which was your favorite tiger story?
Okay, I actually had to pull this one up. So my favorite tiger story was there was a heavenly prince who ruled over Earth. And there was a bear and a tiger. And they were tired of their wild lives. And so he said they had to live in a cave and for like 100 days and only eat mugwort and garlic. And they would become women. And the bear succeeded, and the god rewarded her by giving her a woman's body. And they created the Korean people. But the tiger was like, nope, I can't do this. I'm not dealing with this. And the tiger, like, ran out of the cave and was doomed to live a life stalking through the forest as a beast. And I was like, that is, like, the best story ever. Because I was like, yeah, I would totally be the tiger. It's like, nobody has time for this.
That is a true story. It was that was also my favorite one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The other ones were sadder.
Yeah.
That one was sort of like, oh, somebody doesn't want to sit in a cave for 100 days? Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Garlic and it's like, mud work.
Was it really a reward to become a woman? I'm not so sure.
Probably not. Okay. Oh, you want to talk about the drinks that we made real quick?
Oh, yes. You made this lovely, lovely drink, which is Bacardi and lime?
And grenadine.
Grenadine. It's pink. It's adorable. It's very tart and fresh.
Yes.
It's quite good.
Yeah. It's called a Bacardi. I can't speak.
Bacardi
cocktail.
Yes.
Bought this book for my birthday. Birthday money from my mother. It's called The Ultimate Bar Book. The Comprehensive Guide to Over 1,000 Cocktails.
And it's very smart looking.
It's so cute, isn't it?
It is. It's like very professional looking.
It tells you like all the things that you need to start up a bar and like the essentials is like 20 pages. I was like, holy smokes.
Yeah, I gotta build up to that.
Yeah, I'm like, I think we're doing pretty good with what we have now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll be probably taking a few recipes out of here. We were joking, I was like, I could make one, every single one for us, and we would never go through all the drinks. That would be a lot of podcasts.
Yes.
Okay. So, on our next one, have you ever moved and had to make new friends as a child or young adult?
I have not. I have lived in this little hometown for far too long. I left briefly for college, but no, I have not. Have you?
Many, many, many times. Many times. My dad was in the Air Force, and I was a baby the first time we moved. Yeah.
And you never stopped, huh?
Like every 3 to 4 years at least. But I got really good at making friends and meeting people and being able to just walk up and talk to people and be like, hey, help.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good not to be the quiet and invisible one in a situation like that, for sure.
I feel like it definitely was a boost for me being able to get things done.
Yeah.
Which of the main characters do you relate to the most?
Okay. So there was two questions. The main characters I relate to the most, I have to say it's a little bit of both the sisters.
Okay.
Because I kind of, like, the older sister is, like, kind of goth and sort of rebels a little bit. But, like, the younger sister, like, doesn't make trouble and she's really good. I feel like I was those two people. One around, like, the adults in my life and one, like, around my friends.
Yeah.
What about you?
So, I thought you would relate to the grandmother the most.
Oh, that's the next question.
And I was like, oh yeah, I definitely feel like the mom in the story.
Yeah, she was a little out of touch and a little frazzled and a little just overwhelmed, yeah, and
trying to get by, making life choices, like,
yeah. No, I actually changed my answer to that question, because the next question you asked is, which character is your favorite? And what do you love about them? And I love Halimony. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I think I am. It's Korean for grandmother. And she's mystical. And she's down to earth. And she tries to help and understand people. And she, like, she is literally the old lady I want to be, like, mugwort and all.
Yeah, she's the village witch.
Yes, she really is.
On top of the hill.
Yeah. And I love her so much.
I love her so much, too. Yeah. She was a great character. She was really great.
Yeah, she tried to see, like, the best in people. And she really tried to, like, see people where they were and who they were. Like, I think Lily even said that her grandma was the only person who the invisibility didn't work on.
Right. She tried to help people, even if they didn't necessarily want her help, too. Right. She was very generous with her giving. She was awesome. So, oh, we are flying through these questions.
Oh, that's okay. You skipped a couple, so we're going to have to go back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, good grief. I did. Okay. We'll go back to that one. This story is written as magical realism. How do you feel about everyday life being woven with magic?
Well, I think we all by now know my opinion about magic. But I do think magic exists in everyday life. But it's not always easy to, like, be tuned in to notice it. And I think magic is much simpler than people expect it to be. So I have some examples of magic that I've noticed in my life. Like, one time I was driving and there were deer crossing the road. And I had slowed down enough to stop. And instead of the deer being, like, spooked, it literally stood there in the middle of the road and stared at me for, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. It was really crazy. Magic is also if you have a dream about your grandma after she passes away. And she doesn't even have to give you a message. It's just that comfort of seeing her. And I also think it's, like, even something so simple as you make it to work on time, even though you left 10 minutes late. You know what I mean? Like, all of those little things are, like, very magical, but they can be, like, really easily just kind of brushed aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew Monica was going to be like, yes, for magic in an everyday life. This is how I live my life.
I try to, anyway.
I really enjoy that type of storytelling, and I feel like I want to try to write a similar story of just everyday magic woven in between, just like the normal, like, this is what we do. We set out this special dinner for all the spirits, and
oh, I forgot about that. These
things, yeah.
Yeah.
Kosa or Kosh, yes. Something like that.
I think it was Kosa. And actually, pagan traditions do something similar on Samhain or Halloween. They set out a place setting for the deceased family members to be able to join you.
So the other question I skipped, that I wrote, by the way. Do you think the tiger was real? Oh.
So real is such a vague word to me. Like, I don't know. I'm the type of person who believes or wants to believe that a lot of things that we don't see in the physical world are real. So, like, the tiger affects Lily. So, in that sense, to me, the tiger is real.
Mm-hmm. If we look at in the aspect that this was written in a world where magic exists, the tiger is 100% real.
Yeah. And what was cool was, like, the tiger's stories are interwoven with the stories that the Halimony told her granddaughters.
Family. Yeah.
And, like, the grandmother had stolen stories from the tiger because they were sad stories. Sad stories of her, like, Korean heritage that she wanted to hide away. Mm-hmm. So that was also, like, a really profound part of the book that was like, these stories, even though they're really sad, that's kind of like the wisdom that the tiger had. They still had to, like, the world was incomplete without those stories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was, like, crying at that bit where Lily was sort of like, even though they're sad, that's still part of my heritage, and we still need to know that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's been a rough go for Korean women for the generation of this grandmother. Japanese occupation of Korea. And then...
horrific.
You know, her mom leaving her. Mm-hmm. It's not an untrue story.
Yeah.
So, and then I really love that the tiger is what got them to the hospital, because it was stopping the rain in from the car. So that's when I was like, oh yeah, the tiger has to be real.
Yeah.
Because it got, even though Sam couldn't see the tiger, Sam could see the effects of the tiger.
Yeah.
And was able to drive to the hospital.
And I think that was part of the magic and the beauty of the story of itself, was making you question, wait, what's going on? Is the tiger real? You know, isn't it real? It like made it really exciting, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then my last question is, what makes the library an important place, and how important are stories in your life?
Well, I mean, just speaking from me, I think the library is a place that you connect with others, that you have a sense of community, that you learn and study for responsibilities and for fun. And I feel like the characters in the book did all of those things at the library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the library was important for their family because the grandmother had helped with the library.
Yeah.
And it was a holder for stories, good and bad.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, how the stories being important in this book, and also the library holding all the stories. Like, yeah, that makes total sense.
I love libraries. I'm a huge fan of the library. I love librarians.
And stories. How important are stories in my life? Like, I don't think I could even survive without books or stories, literally, some days.
I would be very sad and lonely without stories.
Yeah.
I listen to probably 2 or 3 audio books a week, and I read 1 book a week.
Yeah.
I need stories in my life.
Me too. I think I might be escaping a little too much.
It's fine.
Yes.
It's fine.
I mean, at least it's not drugs. My therapist
said that it was fine. Escapism is okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been to therapy in a while, but I did a lot of therapy, and escapism was okay. If that's how you're coping, there's a lot worse ways to do that.
I'm
like, I just need some time to myself to make my brain happy.
And it does. It does make my brain happy. And this book was literally delightful. It was sad, but it doesn't leave... At least it didn't me. It doesn't leave you feeling down.
No, like, you're not emotionally wrung out sad. You're just sort of like, wow, that was really sad, but beautiful.
Yes.
In the same way.
Yes, exactly. Sad, but beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything else we can say about it.
No, I was very surprised I chose a children's book. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't even remember choosing a children's book. And I was just like, oh, but it'll be a quick read. And it was a really quick read, and it was fantastic, and I was happy that I chose it.
Yep, I was too.
So, 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, to the book and the drink.
Yay! All right, any parting thoughts?
No, just enjoy your stories until next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.